the authority of the believer. And I want to talk about it a little bit more today as we share together concerning what God has done for us in Christ Jesus at the cross and through the power of His resurrection. And so, Ephesians, and I encourage you to turn there. Your Bible's with you. Follow me this morning. You will have two different services in this place today. If you are here and simply listen to me, you'll have one service. If you're here and you follow along and you see it in your Bible, you will have another. Because that's really where it makes the difference, is when you look into the Scripture and you say, hey, that guy out there, he's not the one who just said it. Who said it is God has said this to me. And it has to become a reality to you for it to work in your heart and life. And so learn to be a part of your Bible and learn to love the Scriptures and learn to read it every day and meditate upon it every day. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Let nothing be more precious to you than what your Bible is. Let it be something that you love, something that you know, something that you understand, something that you feed off of all of the time. If you do that, you'll have a great life in the Lord. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, look with me verse 15. I want to read just a little bit for our text as we've been reading the last several Sundays. Wherefore, verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. Notice this is for Christians. How do you pray for your Christian brothers and sisters? Here it is. Since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention to you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The number one prayer that Paul says we are to pray for believers, for Christians, is not for our healing. Although we may need healing, and if we do, the Bible says, call for the elders of the church, anoint with them oil, that they might be healed. The prayer of faith shall raise them up. But that's not what he's talking about here for believers. It's not for our financial needs to be met, as AJ talked about this morning. God wants us to have our financial needs to be met. He wants to be in a situation where money doesn't control us, but we control money. It's not a situation for a home and a marriage to be a great, you know, love relationship that we have, and that's fine. God wants us to have that too. But here's what he's wanting for other Christians. And you can see the unique way of this is because other Christians, they have authority. And it's like I can't pray something into you that you don't want. I can't pray anything into you that you won't receive. I can't pray anything in you that you won't believe. And so there's this thing where Paul gets to the bottom of the issue. The foundation of it is this, is other believers need to be prayed for that they themselves might have a spirit of wisdom and that they might have a revelation in the knowledge of Him, that they might know who God is, know who they are in God, and have a revelation and understanding of God. That's what he's praying for. You get that, and you get that foundation in your life, then you can move on with a lot of other things. Years ago, when I got out of high school, I began to study accounting for 3 years, and although I studied it there for those 3 years and finally got a job at the end of that three-year period as an accountant, later went on to be a controller and other things that I did business-wise. Founded and started a business, helped them with those businesses they did, a lot of other stuff other people's done, been part of, used accounting in church, used accounting to help Sheila start up her business, used accounting to help other people do taxes, all kind of other stuff like that. But the foundation was then. Now, without that foundation, I wouldn't be able to do other stuff later on. And so that's what Paul is praying here. If you get wisdom and the knowledge of Christ and you get the spirit of revelation in your life, then it can take you yourself on all kind of issues of your life that you can overcome and you can win and you can have the victory in. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now then, look as it goes on now. Verse 18, here's what he wants. He wants your eyes to be of understanding, being enlightened for the light to come on. Wants the light to come on the inside. That what? That you might know. Something you might know. That you might know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of glory of his inheritance is in the saints. He wants you to know what you have inherited as a saint of God. What belongs to you, as Brother Kenneth Hagin used to say continually. He wants you to know what belongs to you. What is yours? As Brother Kenyon said years ago, when you'll begin to say, not I want it, but I have it, it is mine right now. He wants you to know what you're inherited. All of us, no doubt. If we were remembered in a will and we showed up at the lawyer or the attorney's office to have the reading of the will, all of us would go in, and when we heard our name mentioned, we would want what is ours. Not only would we want it, we would demand it. It is ours. And there's things that God has made available to us that are ours. And Paul is wanting our eyes to be open that we can see what our inheritance is, so that we'll make demands. Not that we would, you know, push God around. That's not what we're talking about. But make demands in your own life that you have the blessings that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you to have. If it was important enough for him to die for it, it's important enough for me to live it out. Amen. Now look what he says. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? The exceeding, what is that? According to the working of his mighty power. What is that? Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus is the greatest display of God's power seen throughout all of the Bible. I mean, I can look and I can see some things. I see Moses stand at the Red Sea and tells it to part, and it does. I see Elijah tell it stop raining, it quits. I can see all kind of things happening like that in the Bible, but the greatest display of God's power, the exceeding greatness, you don't see that mentioned about anything else, the exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead. Because when Jesus Christ came back alive, through the power of himself, the power of the Holy Ghost, and the power of God raising him back to life. When he came back to life, it wasn't just him that came back to life. It was you and me that came back to life. That's when I was born again. I didn't know anything about it until October of 1975. But it was back then that it happened. That's when it transpired. And when I learned about God's love and his goodness and grace toward me, that's when I accepted it and said yes to what God had done for me. The greatest display. And what happened was, when that happened, not just Jesus by himself, that's a great thing for sure, but all of us down through the ages and all of us worlds without end that will be blessed in Christ Jesus and receive this wonderful salvation that God has given us, that's what the devil was trying to stop. And so he put every force of hell and wickedness and fallen spirit at the cross, at the tomb, at the time of his resurrection, and God Almighty exceedingly displayed his power and rose Christ from the dead anyway. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. There it is. Glory to God. Verse 21. For above, notice what happened to him. Verse 20. He raised him from the dead. He set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. I hope you see that. How many knows Christ is seated beside the right hand of God the Father? I hope you see this. How many knows you're sitting right there with him? Say amen. We're right there with him. That's what you got to get to. That's what you got to get to, that it's not just him. How can I say this in such a way that I give proper honor and I don't be misunderstood? My God, I hope you know I love the Lord God Almighty. Jesus is my Lord. He's everything. And without him, I wouldn't be anything. I understand that fully. I've cried out to him in my deepest need, in my greatest hurt, and he's been there for me with healing in my life. And I thank God for all of that. But you know what? God doesn't want me begging Jesus to do this all the time in my life. He don't want me crying and screaming to him about him do something for me. If I need to, I know I can go and I can put my head on Jesus' shoulder and I can cry all I want. I understand that. He loves us all. But what he wants us to do is find out who we are in Christ Jesus, so that we can stand there in all honor and respect to Jesus, but stand there in Christ and be in him. And we also have power and authority at the right hand of Almighty God. Somebody say, I've got power and authority. Glory to God. That's the revelation. That's what will change you. That's what, when something hits you in this life, you'll stand and say, I don't have to take this. You won't be whining and crying and running for somebody to help you. You'll know you don't have to take it. And that's what he's wanting you to have the revelation of. Look what he said, verse 21. Christ Jesus seated far above all principalities and power and might and dominion. Now what he's talked about here is spiritual forces. You can see them in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. But notice, far above all principalities. Somebody said, that's a big devil after you. Maybe so. But we got a big God. Big power or authority is rendered in the Greek. And might. Forces and powers of hell that can really do stuff. I'm not, you know, benign to this, knowing that the devil and his crowd, they can do some stuff. They can hit you and hit you hard. They can do some stuff to you and come against you with everything they got. I'm not saying diminishing the devil's power at all. All I'm saying is God's power is greater. It's greater than the devil's power. Notice, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also which is to come. Whatever name it is that they give you, when they tell you the bad news and they speak those names, recognize that's just a name that is named. And why is it you don't get upset? Why is it you just don't have a fit and pitch a fit and all these kind of stuff and run for a nerve pill? Why is it you don't do that? Because you know there's a name above that name. That ain't the final say. I've said that several times. Thank you, doc. Thank you, attorney. Thank you this for your opinion. That's why I came. You gave me the best advice you have, and I appreciate it. I really do. I understand that's exactly how it works in the natural. You've given me information and knowledge that I know exactly how to pray, how to believe, and how to stand. But all that being said, you know what? It ain't the final word. God's got the final word. Amen? You know when you're going to die? At the point that you and God determine you're going to die. You don't have to let anybody else take you out. No. That's your decision and God's decision. It's both of you are connected in and together. You can look at the scripture. You say, well, how are you connected? Well, the Bible says this. Honor your father and your mother that your days might be long upon earth. You won't die sooner. Treat your mom and dad bad. You want to live a long life? Treat them good. Mama's dead. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, see, yeah, it's part of your decision, isn't it? See, both of them is in there. Both of them is in there. All right, notice what he said. He put all things under his feet. Everything's under Christ Jesus' feet. And gave him to be the head over all things, the church. Who is the church? Somebody say, I am. Which is his body. That's us. The fullness of him that fills all in all. And so, this great prayer that Paul says that he wants to pray for us is the prayer of us to know who we are. To know what we've got, to know our authorities, our rights, our privileges in Him. We have to understand those things in life. There are certain jobs and situations that you get into where somebody above you will tell you everything you need to do. But then also, there are certain jobs where people above you will tell you what you need to do and then expect you to make some decisions on your own too. And if you don't make any on your own and don't begin to do things on your own, you become very less valuable to them because they got to tell you everything to do. And so you have to come to a place of responsibility. And it's that same way in Christ Jesus. We have to recognize the authority that God has given us. The rights, the privileges that God has given us. We have talked about that for the last several weeks. I don't want to go past it without bringing you to a place of understanding. Because what happens is, people will hear messages, as I've taught, and others over the last several weeks, and will walk away thinking they can bind and loose and have authority over anything and everything that moves, and just walk into a place and begin trying things like that, and the whole world cave in on him. And then they say, what's wrong with God, and what's wrong with his word, and that preacher must have lied to me. So I don't want to bring you to that place. I want to give you this understanding of how it works and the mechanics of how it works. Look with me in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. Because there are rules and there are limitations to our authority. Rules and limitations to our authority. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18, Jesus gives us a great principle. There's a whole lot I could read before, a whole lot I could read after, or Matthew 16 as well almost says the same things, but I don't have time to do all this morning. I need to zero in on exactly what we need to be seeing. In Matthew 18:18, Jesus said this, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Notice what you bind right now, an active of present tense of doing it now, shall be bound, a past tense. See that? Whatever you bind up shall be bound. And so you move from what you're doing presently to in heaven, it happened. It's a done deal, so to speak. So that's why he's saying that. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed, with the ED on it, loosed in heaven. Now, there's a couple of revelations that you can glean from this passage that we're looking at. One we talk about is this, first and primost, I guess it would say, would be whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. In other words, God's saying whatever you decide to do on earth, from heaven will come that same decision for you. From the heaven, the planet heaven where God lives, God's authority is behind you. It's like Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 when he said, we are ambassadors. We are representatives of heaven. You and I represent God. We represent the kingdom of God on earth. We are answering the prayer that Jesus prayed for the kingdom to come. We are kingdom people and bringing God's kingdom work to earth. And so in that respect, we are ambassadors of God, authorities of God. He is in charge in heaven ruling, and we as Him ambassadors are here on earth, and we say, well, this needs to be done, that needs to be done. We bind, we loose, we bind, we loose, and God's authority from heaven backs us up. That's where we have a greater authority than the power of hell has. His authority is our back. He is the one who has us. Christ is seated in heavenly places. We are positionally with Him in heavenly places. He is above every name that is named. Our authority in Christ is greater than all of the authority of the earth. A second thing that you can see from that is this. We have basically three heavens. There is the atmospheric heavens that are around planet Earth. And it contains our atmosphere that we are in. And were it not for that, we would not be able to breathe and have our, you know, life continue on planet Earth. It houses us. There is a second heaven. This second heaven is the starry, spacious, universal skies that we know anything and everything about. That heaven that there's there. There is this third heaven that Paul talked about when he said, I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but was caught up into the third heaven. The third heaven is the heaven where God lives. I call this a planet because Earth is a planet. But anyway, you can call it what you want. But anyway, caught up to this planet heaven where God lives and where He rules. The Bible says promotion doesn't come from the south, the east, or west. It comes from the north. And so in the northern part of our universe, there's this authority of God that is there. Then there are the spacious skies that fill all of the universal heavens. Then there's a heaven immediately around this earth where we are at. Satan himself used to be an authority, an anointed cherub that stood by the throne of God in the planet heaven where God is at. In his very throne room, Satan was there. But he has been cast out of that heaven and down to the heavens of the earth. And so now he is the prince of the power of air, first heaven, around the earth. He is in this place that you and I live and in the heavenlies. And for things to happen in this earth and out of this earth, Satan has his part in that happening or not happening. We read last week in the book of Daniel three places where Daniel was praying, and in order for God's prayer to come from the planet in heaven where he was at, the answer to come into the earth where Daniel was at, it had to go through the heavenlies where the prince of the power of Persia and the prince of the power of Grecia were in the heavenlies that were fighting. And for 21 days, the Bible says that there was war in the heavens between Michael was sent, and the archangel Michael, the warring angel of Israel, came in and fought and delivered this pathway for the prayer and the revelation of the end times to come into Daniel. And so there are things going on in heaven. And so whenever you and I bind something on earth, think about it that way as well. In the heavens where we're at, demonic spirits, devils and demons, fallen angels, these creatures that have rebelled against God and are currently in rebellion against Him now, and who are followers of Satan themselves, are in the heavenlies. For anything to happen on earth, it has to first be bound in the heavenlies. This heavenly thing is that a lot of stuff goes on. You can look at it. Look when Christ Jesus was born. When Jesus was born, there was workings and things going on in the heavens. Because what had happened, the wise men, the shepherds, they looked, they saw stars. They saw directional pointers that were in the heavens. Something's changed. These astrologers that studied the heavens said something's changed in the heaven. And now we have seen His star, and that's what led them to Bethlehem. Something was going on in the heaven. When God spoke to Abraham and told him he'd make a great and mighty nation, He said, look up into the heavens. Look up into that line or that circuit, and you'll see what's going on up in there. When the people were rebelling against God at the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11, they wanted to build a tower that reached into the heavens. People throughout all of mankind have understood that things happen in the heavens. It's not a strange thing that in 1948, when Israel became a nation, May 15th, 1948, by UN Charter, became a nation, 48, that was a year that it seemed like this UFO thing sort of broke open in America. And for years after that, people have these sightings, and still they say they do, but for years after that, what you can see is this, is when things happen on earth, something happens in the heavens. And if you want something to happen on this earth, you've got to change what happens in the heavens. And that's why he said, what if you bind on earth? I'll bind it in the heavens. And so when the devil and fallen angels, devils and demons have come against you with all spiritual force and might come against you, you have authority to bind them. Even though you're on earth, you have authority to bind them. And in the heavenlies, God will bind them according to your word and his will. He will bind them. And you and I have this power to bind and to loose. There are some things that we pray for and that we ask God for. It's important to know the difference in the two. Some things I don't know that, maybe I don't have a clear word of Scripture that tells me thus and so about a particular certain situation. And I pray and I ask God's direction, leadership, and guidance in that. And that's appropriate. You ought to do that. There are other things in life that come against me with such powerful spiritual force that you recognize as an attack of the enemy. And you don't need to pray, oh God, please get this away from me. No, you can bind it yourself. You have spiritual authority because you are in Christ. And you have to come to that place of recognizing who you are. This is the hope and the plan of the gospel that we'll be looking at hopefully in the next several weeks. God's purpose and plan of the ages that we're in right now that requires that you and I come to this place. These devils and demons, a little preview, these devils and demons that are in the heavenlies of the earth, it is God's design that you and I replace them. In the new heavens and the new earth, you said, what's going to happen to us when we're raptured and we're in this glorified body? We'll become the rulers of God's universe with him. And we'll replace that rebel authority that's in the earth today. We'll look at that several weeks from now. The Lord may be willing for us to do that. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Now, concerning this binding and loosing, what can you bind and what can you loose, all right? We're talking about here, there's other prayer topics that we can deal with, but on this authority of the believer, there's some specificness about it. In Luke chapter 10, as we've read before, recognize verse 17, Luke 10 verse 17, and the 70 are returned again with joy. Remember Jesus? He sends out 70 evangelists, they're called, to go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom, and he sends them forth. When they go out and they come back with joy, verse 17. They say, Lord, even devils are subject unto us. Now, what you have to realize is devils are subject unto us. A lot of Christians just rebelled against that. They was, oh, devils are subject unto God. You're right, they are. Devils are subject unto the Holy Ghost. You're absolutely right. Devils are subject unto Jesus. You're right, they are. Some will go as far as say, devils were even subject to the 12 apostles. You're right again. And some will say, devils were subject to these 70. You're completely right. And that apostle I remember that was born at a time and season, the apostle Paul, devils were subject unto him. But the problem is they stop right there. Because if you just stop right there, you haven't gone where God wants you to go. He wants you to have the revelation, devils are subject unto you. Say it and see if it doesn't. I'm hopeful it won't gag or something. Maybe it won't throw up or whatever. But somebody say, devils are subject unto me. Devils are subject unto me. I say that with all humility of knowing who God is. He is my Lord and Savior. And the only reason devils are subject unto me is because God backs me up. That's the only reason. If I didn't have God backing me up, I'd be in a world of trouble. Literally, world of trouble. It's a world system. I'd be in a world system of trouble. But I have God backing me up. And I'm in Christ. And you're in Christ. And we're seated with him in heavenly places. And the heavenly places that we're seated with him in is higher than the heavenly places that the devil and his crowd are seated in. Amen? Amen. Somebody say, devils are subject unto me. Say, I tell devils what to do. Why do you think the Bible says cast them out? He didn't say beg them to leave. He didn't say cry and scream till you get a horse. He said cast them out. Get rid of them. Don't play around with the devil. Some people have the devil riding their back all week long, all month long, whatever. Some people made it nice. They put a real nice saddle on the back for him to ride on. You comfortable up there, devil? You know, all this kind of, no, get rid of him. So, now notice, they come back because devils are subject. Okay? It didn't say men were. And I speak men of mankind. It didn't say women were. Devils are subject unto us, as they were these 70, the 12, Jesus, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, those that are in Christ. As they are subject unto those, devils are, not men and women. Look what he says, verse 18. He said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Hey, that's not much, guys. I was there when he was cast out, is what he's saying. Verse 19, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents, figuratively speaking, devils and demons when you're talking about serpents, as symbolized in the book of Genesis, or literalized in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, the serpent. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Notice the power of the enemy, his authority. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Okay? Now notice what it doesn't say. Notice what he's talking about. He's not talking about that you got, a pot of hot water boiling on the stove, and you walk up and put your hand on the inside of it and say, that's not going to hurt me in Jesus' name. You're headed to the hospital. You better call 911 real quick. Unless you work at the Beacon Restaurant in Spartanburg, South Carolina. I saw it. I don't know how he did it. I saw it. I saw the guy back there that was cooking those fries, and they got these big old vats of fries. I saw him stick his hand in that boiling grease and pull up fries and throw it on the thing with his hand. I said, how does he do that? I'm not going to try it. How about you? I remember him. Remember J.C. used to call out up there? J.C. went on to be with the Lord. He was a good brother. He really was. But anyway. Notice it's the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, don't mean that you go stand out in the middle of the road. The car's not going to run over you and wipe you down dead. It will. I have authority. Pastor said I had authority. Nothing would hurt me. He's talking about these spiritual forces. Stay in the context of what you're reading. Now, we can talk about some other things on some other issues, but it's here that he's talking about spiritual forces. It's these devils and these demons that you cast out won't be able to hurt you. That's what it is. Verse 20, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Don't be so, happy about this. Rejoice not what? That the spirits are subject unto you. There it is. Two times Jesus has said it. It's spirits that are subject unto you. Spirits, devils, demons. These things they were casting out. And so the idea that you and I can take authority over something. Say you like the president or don't, or you like the governor or don't, or you like the mayor or you don't. I bind that mayor. I bind that governor. I bind that president. You're going to have a hard time doing that. You don't have authority over the mayor, the governor, the president. Amen? They got their own authority. Okay? And so we have to come to this understanding of what he's talking about, where devils and demons and spiritual forces are concerned. That's where your authority lies. That's where it is. Well, and why do you have such authority? Because Jesus already defeated them at the cross and made an open show of them. And now he has this exalted power he has as the resurrected Son of Almighty God seated in heavenly places. And you and I have been seated there with him. So we share in that authority. It didn't say that he defeated King Herod. Right? It's these devils and demons. So that has led a lot of Christians just into a place of weakness, because they think they can do things that the Bible never said we could do, and we don't have authority to do. Try doing them, and when it doesn't happen, they blame God for it. So get the right kind of understanding of what's going on. I've got a little wood shop at the house and got different tools and that thing. And I can take a hammer and drive a nail all day long, but it's a lot harder to try doing it with a saw. You ever tried to drive a nail with a saw? I think I've used back of pliers, a few things like that. But no, you can't do it with a saw. It's not intended for it. And the same way with this authority. You have to understand what the authority is for. Spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, Ephesians 6:12. Now, look with me in James chapter 4, verse 7. This authority, let's sort of narrow it down a little bit. Let me give you just a few little examples here of where it could be. Where you are concerned, you and you alone, not your mama, your daddy, your son, your daughter, your aunt, your uncle, your cousins, your husband, your wife, your spouse, none of that. You. Where you are concerned, you have the greatest authority where it is you versus the devil. Or you versus fallen angels. Or you versus demons. That's where you can rely on your greatest authority. James chapter 4, verse 7 says this, submit yourself. Now notice this is a limited authority because you've got to be submitted. If you're not submitted, you don't have this promise. But submit yourselves therefore to God, then resist the devil. Then after you resist him, what happens to him? He will flee from you. I think the Amplified Bible says he will run in stark terror from you. In other words, you've terrorized the devil when you resist him. I think that might give the devil a heart attack if some people resisted him. Right? Some people don't. But no, resist the devil. So where it's just you. Notice, he doesn't run from the crowd. He doesn't run from the masses. He runs from you. Everybody say, you is me. Okay? So you have that authority. When the devil and spiritual wickedness comes against you, okay? When he comes against you, there are spirits connected with all kind of things. Over through the years in history, you can read and study about it, and men have believed, it came out of Alexandria, Egypt, way back now, about 300 years after Christ, and people began thinking about it at that point, that devils and demons, there was a name for each one of them, and each one of them had some kind of human malady or human problem or frailty that they would bring against humanity and control things against people. That's like when we talk about today, you know, sometimes we talk about habits. Years ago in Pentecost, we didn't call them habits, we called them sins. Somebody say amen. Remember when habits used to be sins? Okay, habits used to be sins. But we can think about some stuff and different things that people do, like, you know, drugs and stuff like that. There are drugs that have a chemical reaction upon people. There are addictions that these drugs cause. Empowering that addiction, empowering that drug is a devil. A demonic spirit. And when that devil or that demonic spirit is cast out or resisted, the power of that drug is released from mankind. You see? Now, if you're all hooked up into, you got to understand biblical understanding that Jesus gave us. If you're all hooked up in medical terminology, this, that, and the other, you'll go a different direction. But when you understand spiritual authority, you don't just say, why does this happen, or how is this happening, but why does it happen? And there's a devil behind it. And where that devil is behind it, you have authority over it. That's why that when some people got saved, things that were in their life, some people, they got completely freedom. Bam, just like that. They were believing for it. They expected it. They at that point, exercised their spiritual authority. There's other people got saved, and they just hung on and hung on and hung on. Keep on hanging on stuff, letting all this stuff just, you know, carry them down and down and down. You have to understand your thought. Where it is you that is concerned, you have the power to resist the devil. He must flee from you. Okay? And so any devil or demon that would try to come against you, for example, and I've prayed over this in my life, I believe two things. I believe there is a spirit of poverty. I know there is. But I also believe that there are things that we do that cause poverty. Bad financial management or none at all cause it. I think both have to be addressed in your life. But I think there's times in our lives when we have a spirit of poverty against us where we just won't let ourselves enjoy anything expensive. We won't let ourselves get into anything. We won't think any higher than we've ever been. And we won't really extend or expand our thinking into a place of prosperity because we're always thinking poverty. Why? Devils, demons, you're no good. You're not anything. You're, you know, all these kind of things trying to push you down and to back you up. And so those. have to be resisted. Cast out. Taken authority. No, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And through the power of Jesus, you can defeat the spirit of poverty in your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now then, go with me a little bit further. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Let's expand this authority just a little bit. When it comes to you and you and God, every one of us stand before God, give our account of ourselves of what the Bible says, Romans chapter 14, verse 12. All of us will. All of us will. Okay. Let's expand it a little bit. And we're going to get a little complicated, but we're going to expand it just a little bit. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, the scripture tells us, and we read this at marriages constantly, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, in a husband and wife relationship, how many understand we should be submitted one to another? And not me. I tell my wife what to do. She better. You know, you live like that, you're going to be having problems. You're going to be needing counseling real, real quick. If mama ain't happy, they ain't.
Nobody.
All right. Ephesians 5, verse 21. Submit yourself to one another. Submit yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Now then, in this roles of equality of man and woman, in this relationship of marriage, Scripture says, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Not every other man on planet Earth. Your own husband. So it's not saying women are less than men. Not saying that. Women should be submitted to all men. Not saying that at all. But in this husband-wife relationship, as unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. In the relationship of marriage, now I take my own and no more with that than anybody else. In a relationship of marriage with Sheila and I have, not over her as a person, but I have spiritual authority to keep the devils off of her.
Amen.
As husband. I did not say that I've got a spiritual authority over her to tell her what to do and what not to do and do this and do that. I didn't say that. I said I have spiritual authority to keep harm of any kind off of her, no matter what it would be. I mean, whether it be money, finances, it's my responsibility to keep her clothed and fed and happy and just wonderful. That's my responsibility. My responsibility is to make my wife the most happy person on planet Earth. That's how I feel about it. I really do. And if anything comes against her, that's why, I mean, I do lots of things for her. She don't even buy gas. It's my job to make sure that her car is full of gas. It's not hers. I mean, you don't get gas. I go buy her own gas. And it's my job. Like this morning when she came out, I got the car last night, backed it up, turned it around right in front of the driveway, right in front of the walkway, so that she got there, all she had to do is open the door to get in. I don't want her to have to turn the car around in the driveway. I don't want her to have to do anything. She's going to get in the thing, fire it up, and going to go. If it doesn't fire up, all she got to do is beep, call Leon. That's all she got to do. That's all she got to do. She called me. I'm not a mechanic. No, anyway. I'm her husband. When her daddy gave her to me, the home she came out of, her daddy provided for every bit of her needs. He gave her a place to live. He put food on her table and gave her the clothes on her back. When he gave her to me, I took up that responsibility. Now, she works. She's got a job. She makes money. She can do whatever she wants to do. That's up to her. But in my mind, my heart, it's my responsibility to take care of her. That's it. It don't just stop physically. It's in the spiritual realm as well. I'm not going to let the devil harass my wife. So you have an authority in that marriage that I don't have with other ladies. That's what I'm trying to get you to say. See, when you're in a marriage covenant, because we have covenanted our lives together, where we have stood before God and made promises for our lives to be one, I have a certain responsibility toward her, and I'm sorry, but I don't have it toward the rest of you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I do have it toward her. She has responsibilities toward me too, because we submit to one another. And so in that regard, I can bind and loose some devils in and around her life. If I don't be mean, I can loose some too of my own. But anyway, let's stay away from there. Let's don't do that. Done it a time or two in my life, but don't do that. No. I've got that spiritual authority. Husbands, stand up and be the man of the family. Amen? You don't hear that preached much in America, do you? But we need to. We need to. Absolutely, we need to. And take this spirit of authority. And that's why it was that Charles Capps wrote many years ago, and he said this. He said the first sin was not when Eve partook of that forbidden fruit. The first sin was when Adam allowed it to happen. Because he was standing right there with her. And he should have took authority. The moment she began having conversations with the devil, the serpent, he should have stepped up then and exercised his spiritual authority. And so you understand that. There's some authorities that you have in a marriage covenant that you don't have other places. Let's go a little bit further. Let me just give you just a little bit more. In fact, let me just throw this in there. Oh my, you can look into Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 16, and you can see where these words are used when people came to the Lord to be saved. Said, I'll tell you words whereby you can be saved. You and your house are your whole house. Scripture tells us in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up children in the way that they should go. I have, now again, this is up until the age until they're on their own. And maybe a little bit more after that. But primarily, you have authority over your children. When they are born, you have total authority. You tell them what they're going to eat, when they're going to sleep, and you know all this kind of stuff. If they get changed, you're the one that's going to do it. You teach them how to talk, all this stuff. They begin to walk and talk. You're in complete control and authority. And you maintain that and you continue that through their formative years and as they grow up and they get become adult themselves up until that time and they're in your household, you have certain authority over your children. Somebody say amen. Amen. Don't be like the world says, well, I'm not going to tell my child where to go to church and I'm going to let him decide for himself. That's crazy. That's absolutely nuts. Well, I'm not going to tell my child where to put his finger in a light socket and I'll let him find out for himself. No. You're going to tell him, don't touch that. Right? Don't do that. You're going to tell him, do this, do that. That's what you are. I mean, how should a child who doesn't have the knowledge or wisdom to know about much of anything, make their decisions for themselves? That is absolutely nuts. Does anybody have an amen on that?
Amen.
Amen. You have an authority over children. But how many know children grow up? And as they do, hopefully the values that you've instilled in them and you taught them, they will maintain. If you did some mistakes and problems, maybe like I've done, maybe like a few, maybe they'll let some of those things go and so find their own way and that kind of thing. And as they do, they take on their own authority. And then they get to a place, you can't tell them what to do. Somebody say amen. You can maybe talk a little bit about things and counsel about them, maybe give a little advice here or there. And when they tell you they don't care anymore, then you can't tell them what to do, right? So you got to get to that place. You have to understand that there's a place where they take on their own responsibility and their own authority for their own life. And you can't keep exercising it like you used to. But during that time that child is there and you are parenting that child, you have rights to keep the devil off of them. Now, what can you pray then after they come to adulthood? That their eyes might be open and they keep the devil off themselves. That's what you pray. A lot of parents sometimes take responsibility, as you should, as we should, through their formative years, as we should. But then after they are gone and on their own and doing their own thing, everything they do, not your fault. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Not everything. Not everything was. Not was. So you got to learn your place of authority. Now, it goes the same way. I've just sort of mentioned these three things. It goes the same way. You can talk about your town. I got some authority here in Lawrence that I do not have in Greenville. We got some authority here in South Carolina that we don't have in 49 other states. We have some authority, and limited, in America, or the United States, that we don't have in other countries. You see? So, you know, when you have these people stand up and act, just curse every demon of hell all over United States of America and call everybody to righteousness. Well, they ain't all righteous yet, are they? So somebody's authority didn't quite work for them, or either they were out of bounds in where they were calling for that authority. And they were. And so there, look at Mark chapter 16. Here's the issue. The real thing is this. You have to understand your authorities over spirits. When you're dealing with people, it's a different situation. People got their own choices to make. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible says as Jesus was giving his great commission of Mark, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The command to the disciples is to preach and teach the gospel to everybody. But here is what the people do. Verse 6, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But not everybody. But he that believes shall not shall be damned. But not everybody. See, some make a choice to be saved. Some make a choice not to be saved. Some make a choice to believe. Some make a choice not to. And you and I don't have spiritual authority to change the choices of people. Oh my, haven't you seen some people make bad choices in life and you just hurt for them and cry for them because you know what they're doing, you know what is hurting them, and know what's going to, but again, ain't nothing you can do about it. You can love, you can care, you can be there for them, you can give the best advice you can. Sometimes the best advice is just for you to stay away from that. You know, all kinds of stuff you can look at and how to help, but you can't do anything. It's going to be their choice. And when they make a choice themselves, they stand by their own authority and their own choice. It's out of your hands, out of your authority. Now, I'm talking about this area of binding and loosing. Haven't yet talked about evangelism and prayer and other things. Like I'm talking about here specifically, binding and loosing. If you have someone you love very much that's going to do something that's very sinful and very wrong, I mean, you can bind them all day long and they can still walk out and do it. Now, we're not talking about devils. We're talking about people. Talking about people. Now, look with me in Matthew chapter 23. So you'll see this. Well, if Jesus was here. Well, Jesus was here, and this is what he did. He's still here today in each of us. But Matthew 23, verse 37, Jesus looked at Jerusalem, and this is what he said. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kills the prophets and you stone them which are sent to you. The very people that brought you the answer that you're supposed to have, you killed them. And you stone them that sent to you. How often? In other words, lots of times, I would have gathered you like children together. Just brought you under my wings, even as a hen gathers a chicken under her wings. And you would not. You see that you would not? Jesus himself couldn't get Jerusalem to repent. So with all this stuff, we said, I call the city to repentance. I command them all to their knees. Sorry, but you don't have that authority. Now, should we call for repentance? Sure. Should we call for people to come to knees? Sure. But as far as you making the decision and binding and loosing somebody to do that, we just don't have that. Jesus couldn't do it. Where Jerusalem was concerned, he couldn't do it. You won't be able to either. I won't be able to either. But now, we're recognized. What have we talked about? Where it's you against the devil, you got all authority. Binding loose. When you bring in that marriage relationship, you got a great amount of authority right there too. There's still some choices going on. Could be in the spouse. But you got that great authority. As long as you're in covenant, submitted to one another, you got all kind of authority in that marriage at home. Where children concerned and they're still under your household and still under your care, you got all kinds of authority. Even when they go out from you, you got some authority that may remain there. Not like you had there, but some that may remain. But when you come in this particular situation here that Jesus, you have to realize people got their own choices. Binding and loosing is not binding and loosing somebody's mind as such. Now, again, if someone is needing help, devil possession, or whatever the case might be, or pressed by the devil and are wanting help from it, yeah, authority kicks in then, okay? But what I'm talking about is this general thing of just binding this, binding that, loosing this all over the place, and especially something happen when we don't have authority to do that. It's against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, primarily connected in this lineage of authority. You, all authority, those in covenant relationship, greater authority, children, greater authority, and it just begins to get more limited the further out it gets from you and your relationship with Christ and great relationship with God. Let me show you something else. Look at Matthew 18, 19. So what do we do? Matthew 18, verse 19. Scripture says, again, I say to you, that if two of you shall agree. See, now when you get somebody to agree with you, that kicks in that authority. Somebody comes up to you, for example. The devil has just been all over me. I mean, the devil just controlled my mind and my thoughts and all this kind of stuff, and he's just in me all the time. Let's say devil or lust. He's just on me all the time, and I need help. And someone comes to you. You can pray for that person and exercise spiritual authority with them through the prayer of agreement when they agree with you. See? If any two or three of you agree on earth is asking what they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. If the exact same person eat up with lust. Problems of all kind come to you, and you're praying with them, and they say, I don't want to be delivered. I don't want to quit what I'm doing. I don't want to stop my sinful ways. You got no authority. See the difference? See the difference? Understand where it's at. But when someone submits to the word and the will of God and seriously wants deliverance and freedom in their life, then you can pray for them with all authority of Christ Jesus, seated in heavenly place, commanding the devil to come and to go to do these things. You have that authority then. Okay? Let me show you one last thing. I need to bring it to a close. Look at Romans 14, verse 12. Maybe this would be a good place just to end this up for this morning. Romans 14, verse 12. Scripture says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Each one of us will stand before God at different places as we understand Scripture and that kind of thing. But we will all stand before God, and we only are accountable for, I'm only accountable for me. Now, it might be me and what God called or spoke to me to do, and of course, I'm accountable for that. You're accountable to you and what God spoke to you to do. Recognize that part of man continues. And so in our binding and our loosing and our exercising spiritual authority, we have to understand that person and their rights and their privilege and their choices they can make. And people can make the wrong choice. You don't want them to. You encourage them not to. You wish they didn't. You pray that they didn't. But the bottom line, they still can make the wrong choice if they so choose. And I just haven't found anything in Scripture yet that says you can go there and command them to make the different choice. Now, I've seen in Scripture where people made the wrong choice and, boy, it ended real bad for them and they were taken out of the scene. I've seen that. I've seen where people made the wrong choice and all kind of things broke loose in their life and later they repented and made a new choice. But I haven't seen it in life where people were forced to make a different choice. And each one of us have that right, that authority ourselves, and so does the other people that you and I deal with. They all have the same authority as well. They all have the same right. And so how do you address those? Well, the Bible talks a lot about addressing those. There's preaching of the gospel, and that's really what it is. The word of the God, the Holy Spirit upon the gospel that will change hearts and change lives. But it still is their choice whether they receive. Some received and are baptized and are saved, and some are not, and they are damned, as we just read. It still becomes our choice. So recognize where your spiritual authority is. I mean, and I face people, for example. I mean, I was in that lawsuit with those people, and there was a lot of people, and they had all kind of authority they had, and they weren't making the choices I wanted them to make. So what I had to do was come in the back door, so to speak, and allow the Holy Spirit to touch my heart life where I would be wiser than they are, smarter than they are, know more about the situation, what they knew about it, have avenues and inroads that they didn't have that would overcome the bad choices they were making and didn't even know they were making them. And so, but it didn't change them. They got fired, but it didn't change them. And so the same thing, you and I, when we face circumstances of life, we have to understand that when you're dealing with people, it's not the people that you change. They must change themselves. You can present opportunities in and around them. You can present the Word. You can present the Holy Spirit in prayer and intercession, conviction of the Holy Spirit, all kind of stuff that we'll talk about that you can do. But still, bottom line is their choice. Stand with me this morning. Let's go before the Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name. You think how much God loves you. Think how much God cares for you. Andrew Murray wrote, and I was reading in his devotional where he talked about the proof of that choice is found in the decision of Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve made the choice to sin, they chose it for all of us. And all of us were born into their bad choice. I mean, if there was a time ever that you could change somebody's choices, that would have been the time to do it. It would have saved us a whole world of trouble for all of us. But God doesn't do that. God respects and He honors your choice, even though He may disagree with your choice. He still allows you to make it if that is your choice. Let's bow our heads and go before the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you and we thank you, Lord God, for this day, this opportunity to share, and Father, to delve into your word today, and Lord, to have understanding and spiritual revelation, Lord God. Teach us, Lord God, to walk by the power and authority that you have given us. And Lord God, we yield ourselves unto you always. It is our choice that we always follow you in the name of the Lord Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you hadn't made a choice to follow Jesus, it'd be a great time to do it. And so if you haven't made a choice to follow Jesus, or you've made a choice one day to follow him, you walked away, but you want to come back to him today, and you'd just like me to pray for you. Anybody in the service today, if you'd like to make that choice, you can just slip your hand up and say, "Hey, Pastor, would you pray for me today when you pray?" Anywhere in the service today, God bless you. Anywhere here. God bless you, son. Anywhere. Anybody else? In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord. God is good to us, isn't he? God is good to us in the name of the Lord. We're going to pray. Son, would you like to come on down and pray? Would you like to come down? I'll pray with you. Would you like to do that? Come on. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord. God's good, isn't he? He's a mighty good God. What a great choice that we make. Amen. God is good. God is good. God is good. Amen. God is good. Hey, Jay, you want to join me here at the front? Jesus said, come on right here. Come on, bro. Come on, son. Come on, man. Come on. We're going to follow Jesus today.
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm going to get everything taken care of, right?
Yes, sir.
This is it. One decision will last a lifetime, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Pray this prayer for me. Say, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. It's my choice to follow you all the days of my life. I'm sorry for my sins. I repent of all of them. From this day forward, I am your child. I believe that the blood of Jesus washes me from all of my sins. I give my life to you for now and forevermore. In the name of Jesus, I thank you now. I'm your son. I'm your child. I'm one of yours. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Everybody give him a great one. God bless. I think God bless you, brother. Amen. Ooh, that's a good hug. I like that, man. I like that. Hold on. I got something I'm going to give you. Hey, what you need? You walked away and you want to come back. Well, thank God. Thank God. God's got his hand on you. Just pray this prayer. Frank, right?
Yes, sir.
Pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord.
I'm sorry.
I walked away from you. But I'm coming back today. I give you my heart. I give you my life.
I'm going to follow you all the days of my life.
I thank you that you hear my prayer.
That Jesus' blood washes away all of my sin.
And that from this moment, I'm a child of God.
My covenant is renewed.
And I'll follow you. Forevermore. In the name of Jesus, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless. I tell you, God bless. Amen. I got something I'll give you too. I'll give you both of them. Hold on right here. I got something to give both of them. And God's good to us, isn't he? Isn't that great? Thank the Lord. God is good. God bless. I'll tell you what, before you go, make sure you at least shake these guys' hands. Would you do that? Come on, fellas, all around. Let them know that you love them. God bless you. You can be dismissed as we do. Come on. In Jesus' name.